Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome everyone to Morning Magazine part two for this January 26, 2023. Your host James J here, and I am joined by our good friend Laura Huber, 4-H program coordinator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, James.
How you been?
All right. Can I tell you, it's busy.
Yeah.
It's a great time of year.
You guys always stay busy over there, and the beginning of the year tends to be pretty darn busy for you. So not only thank you for the time, but appreciate the work that you do with 4-H and what 4-H is able to do for our youth and for our communities. I'm going to get that in there right away.
Well, thank you.
Actually got to talk to Jeremy yesterday, the new head over there, Extension and everything. We had a great conversation, and on air and off air, we're bragging about you quite a bit. So I don't know if your ears are burning. I apologize if they were. That's on me.
Silliness.
Let's dive right into things. Where would you like to start with 4-H? Because there is so much work, so many directions we can go here.
Yeah, so lately I've been doing a lot of work with our volunteers. 4-H is really a volunteer-based organization. It's impossible to do amazing things for youth in the community as one person alone. And sometimes I hate going back to it all of the time, but going back to the pandemic, we talk about all of the things that the kids missed out on, and I think a lot of times what people think about when they think about what did they miss out on is specific events, specific activities or something like that. And the experience that I've had and a lot of my other colleagues have as well is that what they missed out on most isn't just the individual activities. It's the learning. It's the learning how to get along with others. It's the learning of how to make friends. It's the learning of what to do when you've just got downtime. You know, boredom. And so trying to kind of retrain volunteers so that they can be working with young people, and instead of doing what they're used to doing, which, you know, our volunteers are fantastic, but they're used to teaching the skills. Like, this is how you decorate a cake. This is how you lead a meeting. This is how you do fill in the blank. And what we're working on now is this is how you support young people in developing the skills that aren't so concrete, right? I can't stand up in front of a crowd and say, this is how you make friends. I can't stand up in front of a crowd and teach people how to get comfortable in a space with strangers, right? Sometimes we just have to allow the kids to experience that. And it can be hard. Like, it almost feels like, so last Saturday, I spent the whole day with volunteer adults and youth leaders. And one of the questions I asked was, what would happen if you had an entire meeting of nothing but playing games? Like, you just had games scattered about that kids could go and free play. And you know what the answer was? They'd feel like they were slackers and not doing their job. And I felt like, wow. So where I'm focused right now is helping our leaders, youth and adults, figure out how to help young people feel like they belong, feel connected, feel comfortable doing all of those. You know, I think we kind of talk about them as soft skills. Communication, the social interaction pieces. So that's where my focus is right now. And then I'm so thankful for Jasmine, because a lot of her focus is on those specific skills and offering the workshops and bringing kids in to learn food things or art things or whatever they are.
It's so nice to have a team effort for you guys so that you're able to do those things. And a big shout out to Jasmine and the good work that she's doing, too, of course.
She's amazing.
I'm so glad this is coming up, too, and that 4-H thinks of these things. And not to say that you guys are the only ones by any means, but especially when it comes to nonprofits and organizations and the impact that the direct connection you have to the youth, it's great to hear. There's a lot of fear for people out there with kids. Well, your head's in the tablet too much or on the phone too much or these things. And I get a lot of that. That's not as much of my concern. My concern more is all these little things that we learn in society, that the only way we can learn them is by going through them. It's... it's very nerve-wracking when your child has those they're riding a bike alone for the first time. But the only way to know that they can do it is if you let them go. And it's part of what we have to do with these kind of things. So oftentimes with kids, and more times than I think we realize to do that. When it comes to understanding the difference of bullying and teasing each other, I mean, every little kid in human history has been teased. And that's kind of how we build a lot of our friendships and mm-hmm. our characters, and how we prove, whether we realize this or not, how we show, hey, I'm different, you're different. We're all different. We're all a little weird. We're all a little this yeah. and everything. But there's a big difference of that and, of course, bullying. Mm-hmm. So, well, how do you explain that to a child? They find that out themselves oftentimes by these things happening. It's a lot of those kind of soft skills that you mentioned there that how are kids figuring these out now? Giving them good places, safe, comfortable places for them to figure these things out where they're interacting with other kids and maybe they're learning some of these soft skills. I mean, the amount of things the 4-H offers are, it's an endless list. This is right there in the top 10 for me of things that you can learn there.
So one of the things that I think is so hard to learn, and you can only learn by going through it, is that there's a difference between intention and impact. Mm-hmm. So your teasing versus bullying is a great example of that. And what I mean by intention versus impact is, like, what do you intend? Mm-hmm. If you're teasing and you're just kind of, let's have a little bit of fun together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. I appreciate that intention. But it's always critically to understand, what is the impact on the person that you are teasing? Mm-hmm. Do they understand the good-natured, friendly fun of it mm-hmm. all? Or do they not understand that at all? And I feel like if you're teasing somebody who doesn't understand that the impact that it's having on them is different than your intention, mm-hmm. then we can be crossing over that line to bullying. And you might not even intend to be doing that. Mm-hmm. You might not understand the impact. And so that's one of those social skills, right? Is to be able to read the cues in mm-hmm. other people. And In 4-H and youth development programs, we mm-hmm. talk about things like ages and stages. Mm-hmm. There are certain times like that it's absolutely unfair to expect a 5-year-old to be able to sit down quietly, pay attention, and follow directions for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. For their age and their understanding of the world, that is irresponsible to expect. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you should be able to expect that from a 16-year-old.
Right.
Okay. So the impact of the isolation that came with COVID mm-hmm. is it's shifted that ages and stages piece, because mm-hmm. youth haven't learned the lessons at the times that they, normally would have pre-pandemic.
Sure.
And so that's why we're going back. Hmm. It might seem strange to have to teach some of these things to a 6th grader or a 7th grader or an 8th grader. But all along, regardless of how old, if the child was 3 years old going into the pandemic, if they were 6 years old, if they were 10 years old going into the pandemic, there were social lessons that they should have been learning along that pathway. And the pandemic and the isolation prevented them from learning those skills. So as silly as it seems, I don't mean to sound like a slacker, but I am really pushing for that downtime, that free time, that free play in all of our programs, regardless of what the age of the youth we're working with mm-hmm. is, because they all need to kind of catch up on some of those social lessons.
Even if some of these kids do have some of those skill sets in building and everything, mm-hmm. this gives them another chance to fine-tune them. Yep. I mean, there's no downside to this. And I refuse to let you sit in that chair and call yourself a slacker. I know you too darn well, and this audience knows you too darn well to ever consider yourself something like that.
Sure.
If you're doing something like it, it's for the kids.
Yep.
And this is something that can help them learn these things organically, learn them again in a safe environment, mm-hmm. and understand this stuff. And giving kids literal real-world situations like this to be able to be in and learn these lessons, like, what a gift that we're able to do. Not every kid has that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, just as one of those kids that didn't, that goes a lot farther than you can realize. Mm-hmm. Like, that we could even word, really.
Yeah, this weekend, I work as a an advisor for a statewide team of teen leaders and adult leaders who, you know, plan some statewide events. And we've got our, we call it winter retreat this weekend. I was on this as an adult volunteer. And so I can tell you what it was like 6 years ago. We would have all been going into this winter retreat with a long list of tasks that needed to be completed. I've been working with this group now professionally for a few years. And I'm going to tell you, we are not going to get anything near accomplished this weekend on that task list like I would have 6 years ago. And that whole thing is like, yes, even with the teens, we need to give them the downtime to be developing those skills. And we're talking 16, 17, and 18-year-olds who are coming together on this one. So I hope my predecessors, you know, or the adults that were on this group in the past don't look and go, oh my gosh, can you believe how much time they spend playing games? Because unless you've worked with the populations to, to be able to, you know, see that marked difference that the pandemic has had, you might not understand. So, you know, go ahead and call me a slacker. But I'm going to tell you, there are like reasons and there's logic and there's there's science behind what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
And I appreciate you kind of breaking that down for us and everything. And yeah, it all adds up from what I can tell. We'll take a really quick break. We'll come back. We've got some events to talk about, some other great things with the 4-H, and our good friend Lori Huber right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the Morning Magazine here on WFHR. We're speaking with Lori Huber, 4-H Program Coordinator and UW Extension. And always good to talk with you, Lori. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's great to be here.
We were getting into a number of different things there earlier on. Where would you like to go next? Is there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Well, I'm afraid that I might have left everybody with the feeling like all that we're doing now is like helping kids like play. But we still have a lot of that traditional skills-based education programs going on, too. And I'm going to tell you that it's not just kids that need these. Last time I was here, I think I talked about a sewing class that we were going to start at Macmillan Library for kids. And that class booked up, which is really cool. We had our first event in January. But what I thought was super cool about it all was that when adults started hearing that we were going to be offering that class, they were calling the library to find out, like, is this really just for kids?
Oh, cool.
Can adults sign up for this? And so as a result of the 4-H sewing program, right, it wasn't open to just 4-H kids. It was open to everybody. But adults were calling, so they found somebody to come in and teach an adult class.
Awesome.
Because a lot of these skills that we teach, we call all of them life skills. But they're important, right? And and maybe as adults were growing up, or, you know, now adults were growing up, they didn't realize any need. Like, oh my gosh, sewing, that's for that's for housewives. I'm not going to be a housewife or whatever it might be. But, you know, there's a need. So I think it's so cool that we're able to get right in on the ground floor and be working with the kids and helping them discover.
I would say, too, when you're taking something that's the adult version of something maybe your kids or your teenagers were doing, it gives you a little more empathy, a little more connection with your kids. And if your kids are teenagers, you're looking for any connection you can get to your kids. Like, it's very hard to get them to even be in the same room with you. So that seems pretty nice, like a nice added bonus to this too.
Yeah, you know, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and it just you just reminded me of that. There's a meme that, like, having a teenage girl is a lot like having a cat. You know, they just come out when they want to be fed, otherwise they hiss and scratch.
So true. Here's these connections we can make and empathize a little bit more with our young, with our youth. We the older we get, the more we forget what it is like to be that age.
You bet.
And it's not a pointing the finger kind of thing. That's just humanity. It's just the way this whole game works. But it doesn't hurt to take a moment and be like, well, boy, now that you mention it, I do remember what it was like when I was 16. And boy, it was tough. Now think if you had to deal with a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, and I know people are tired of hearing about the pandemic, about hearing COVID this or anything like that. So am I. So are these kids. Like, the only way we get to stop talking about this stuff is if we actually do something about it. And by doing something about it with these things, we have so many, like, layers to this that we're helping these kids with. That hopefully they don't have as many troubles or any troubles with it when they get to be our age.
Yeah. You know, and here we've been focusing on, like, teaching our young people those soft skills. And I told you, I've been working with my volunteers. One of the things that I started with my volunteers this past weekend, and we're going to have a retreat in March as well, is to try to put our adults back in the shoes of our young people.
Right on.
When we ask young people to do new things, we just expect them to be like all willing and able, and, you know, it's no big deal. It can be a really big deal. It can be emotionally taxing. It can be scary. It can be so many things. And the example that I like to share with adults so that they get what I'm talking about was one year, my whole family competed in archery in the Badger State Games. Ooh. And it was the first time that I had ever competitively shot.
Hmm.
We do this in 4-H all the time. We have shooting sports tournaments all across the place, the whole state and national, right? Mm-hmm. It's huge. Mm-hmm. And when I was standing up there on the line, I wasn't even standing next to people that I would be competing against because it's by age and it's by equipment and it's by gender. But I was jittery as could be. Like, I felt the nerves. And this was the first time that I go, oh my gosh, this is what we're asking our young people to do. And this is what it feels like. It was so important for me to get into that experience so I could understand and empathize with. Sometimes we're asking a lot, even if we don't think that we're asking a lot. So
that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And also, I'm very jealous. I've always wanted to learn archery. I didn't know this about you. I think you may have mentioned it once before, and I just forgot or something. But yeah, that's really cool, Laura.
It's fun.
I got to learn. I got to pick it up.
Yeah.
I get this a lot. I'm a little spoiled in this regard. I work with young people all the time, like you do, and they're a little older than probably maybe the age range that you're with, but just like the next tier, and they, I get at least, I would say once every other semester, the question, Mr. Maloff, when do I stop being nervous?
Mm-hmm.
And I get to tell them, like, well, I've done I've been in radio over 20 some years. I've done more shows than I know. I've done over 100 characters, all these things. And I have never once not been nervous before I turn on a microphone or anything like that. Like, that's a good thing. Nerves mean that you care, you're engaged and all that.
You bet.
The look on their faces when you're explaining this to them never gets old. Mm-hmm. And it means so much because I'm not telling them that this will get better or this is this or whatever. I'm not only telling them that with the process of this, but that they're not alone.
Yeah.
I get that way too.
Yeah.
And that sharing that shared empathy goes so much farther. And it brings me back to the youth. It brings me back to those ages and reminds me, no matter how old I get or how old I feel, that those lessons are hard. And I remember them being hard. And I can help this person make it not so hard.
Yeah.
And that's a win. That's pretty fun to be a part of. That's pretty cool to be a part of something like that.
Yeah. So you right there are working on belonging. It's one of the essential elements of 4-H, that connection. You help them feel connected, like they're normal, like that this is a space where they really do belong in, where they might be questioning, like, oh, I'm getting nervous. That must mean I'm not good at this.
Yeah.
Maybe I should stop. No, you're letting them know this is normal. Keep going. You know? Yes, it's perfect.
That's what it's
you
about.
Are living 4-H, James, even though you don't know it.
See, I'm learning. I'm getting better. I pay attention to you and Jasmine. I pay attention. These are the things that we're looking to do with the youth. We're looking to empower them and make them stronger. And if you walk into a 4-H room and everybody's playing board games or something like that, you know that they're doing that for a reason.
Yeah.
They're building something. They're doing something there with that. The same way as if they walk in and they're knitting or doing any other of these constructive and fun activities that the kids can be a part of.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, did you ask?
No, so I was going to say, so you can walk into our sewing class next month at the library, and you are going to see a group of young people and parents. We've got a dad in there, so please never make assumptions, right? So we've got a dad who brought his little girl in, and they are going to be experiencing something for the first time together. And then what's really cool about that is they might go home and they might practice it together. Or, you know, then the adults in the life are discovering just what potential their children have. or they're going to help find a spark, something mm-hmm. that really lights their kid up that they really enjoy. Maybe they're going to discover something that just frustrates the heck out of all of them and they're never going to touch it again. It's all valuable learning, but you can only discover those things if you give it a try.
So much of life you have to find in real time. Mm-hmm. It has to be discovered. It has to be figured out that way. Yeah. Again, giving the kids the safe environment, the welcoming environment like that, to be able to do some, learn some of these lessons and kind of train work them before they take them into the real world, quote unquote, you know, it's really nice to be able to offer that, to be able to give kids that. Again, the more we empower them, the stronger that we make them, the better our future is.
Absolutely
true. This isn't rocket science. It doesn't take a lot to make this figure out this equals this, this equals that.
Yep, absolutely true. And we are all busy, and I get it. But every time you say yes to a new opportunity, you're just helping build your children up, giving them new experiences, different experiences, a wide range of things so that they can discover that we are going to make the future better that way.
We got a couple of minutes left, Laura, and we can go any direction you'd like if you would. But just looking at the year ahead here and not holding you to details or anything like that. But are you guys on, you know, the retreats you're doing? Are you guys in the works of some things coming up with 4-H that you're looking forward to doing with these kids?
Yes. And it doesn't always seem relevant, right? Because as I look out, it's gray and winter and cold. We are planning summer camp. So we've got residential summer camp. We've got other like day camps locally throughout the summer. And then we've got all the project meetings that lead up to the fair, you know, the fair in August where kids really get to highlight all of the learning that they've been doing. But a little closer up, we've got an event called Project Discovery Day that'll be in February at Mid-State Technical College. Talking about lots of opportunities for kids to explore. That's what Project Discovery Day is all about. Mm. And they get to be on Mid-State's campus to see what kind of programs are offered there, helping them think ahead to their future, what comes after school, and Creative Arts Day, which is always a big one. So I'm not fooling. It really is April 1st at Pittsville, and that's where kids will get to do performing arts, like their plays, one-act plays and skits and playing their instruments and public speaking contests and arts and crafts displays. So there is a lot of big stuff coming up. Mm-hmm. So
anything new this year that you're looking at doing? From the years past. And again, not holding you to details or dates or anything like that, but just in general, are there new things you guys are looking at doing and stuff?
So this year we're hosting something called Area Animal Science Days, which I've never done before. So this is one of those tying back to the traditions of 4-H, the history of 4-H, educational programs and contests related to dairy and beef, sheep, swine. We're looking at possibly adding horses and llamas into the mix as well. So that's new for me. And it's one of those that makes me so thankful for incredible volunteers, because I don't speak livestock. I don't speak horse. So relying on others who do have that knowledge and expertise to make these programs for young people possible.
Laura, we always appreciate the time and like to encourage families out there, parents, get your kids involved in 4-H. There's such benefits, such a wonderful thing to be a part of. If they want to, if they have follow-up questions, want to know some more about some of this stuff, how can they find that out?
So, a few places to look. First, check out our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. We are Wood County, Wood County 4-H, WI, I think.
Yes.
There's a few other Wood Counties, which it's fun when we get a call for Texas Wood County. So, you can look there. Otherwise, give me a call, give me an email, and I can get you lots of information. My phone number is 715-421-8439. You know what? Our Wood County 4-H email just changed, so I'm going to give you my own one. The whole county went to a new email system.
We're dealing with that, too. I hear you. Yeah. I'm trying to remember my own email address, yes.
So you can email me at Laura, L-A-U-R-A, dot Huber, H-U-B as in boy, E-R, at WISC, that's W-I-S-C, dot E-D-U.
See, we pulled it off.
Yeah, that's not the one I wanted to share, but
no,
it's good.
I know what you mean, though. I know. Laura, we really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for what you do in the community for these kids. Keep up the great work. Say hi to Jasmine and the whole staff over there for us, okay?
Perfect. Thanks so much, James.
I appreciate the time. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow. We'll wrap up the week of Morning Magazine with the ADRC. In part one, we'll talk to Linda Brost. And in part two, we'll talk to the public school superintendent, Craig Broren, along with Jennifer Wilhorn, 4K administrator. That'll be in tomorrow's Morning Magazine right here at WFHR. Locally grown radio.